but goodies. They have some anointing on them, amen. As they say, used to say in old church, they have some anointment on them. Anointment. They got some anointment. Hallelujah. Well, I am so blessed and highly favored to be here. Amen. It is always awesome to be in this house. Amen. I've been into a lot of houses, but when you come into the house of manna, it's a whole different ballgame. Amen. And I was so excited because Pastor Marty, you know, when we were talking about this, I was talking about coming to the north, south, east, and west of San Antonio to start fires of a revival. And, of course, you know, we'll do another one next year and things like that, but it'll get bigger. It's going to get bigger. Amen. Say it's going to get bigger. Hallelujah. And so we were talking about he's telling me the dates. And then, you know, I said, well, so-and-so wants this date. He goes, no, they don't. And I said, okay, well, I guess you got that date. Amen. So how many excited that God's going to do something for you tonight? I'm telling you, I feel something stirring in the atmosphere, and it's all good, and it's all God, amen? We'll be, in 2 weeks, we'll be at Living Word Church. Anybody know where that's at off of 1060 Donaldson? We'll be at Living Word Church a Thursday, a Friday, and a Sunday night, because they have the way their church is. They don't have it like you guys. You got it all good where you can be in here anytime, and God can show up, and y'all can stay extra innings and extra hours. Amen? Amen. Try not to keep it too late tonight. Amen? Because we still, God bless you. Some people sneeze in church so they can get a blessing. Amen? It's all right. I just, amen. There you go. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to talk tonight. God's really put something in my spirit. And you know, us preachers, unfortunately, sometimes we got to go through some stuff. How many want to be a preacher in this house?
No way.
No. See, the deal is they say, ooh, I want to preach the gospel. I can't wait to get up there on that pulpit and preach. But then the moment a hangnail happens, it's like, oh, no. I don't know. I got a flat tire when I gave. You know, and then all of a sudden everybody, you know, so, or, you know, things happen, you get laid off or something happens. And then all of a sudden this preacher thing is not too exciting anymore. That's why I always tell leaders, I said, you got to make sure you're called by God, not called by mama, not called by daddy, not called by your wife. Not called by, you know, family members that say, oh, I see that you should be a preacher. Yeah, You better make sure it's God, because when the enemy hits, he doesn't play. But I'm going to show you that we got the victory. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at Ephesians 4:27. I don't know if you have enough light. If you don't, just let somebody know. We'll give you a little bit more light. Ephesians 4:27. We're going to look at that first. I want to talk to you about your territory tonight. I want to talk that it's time that he said the enemy is out for your territory. It's a fight for your territory. Look at your neighbor and say, it's a fight for my territory. Now watch this. Ephesians 4:27. Paul said it like this. Neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. I think that was a very sound word right there, because if you look at the Greek word on that, it's topos. And topos literally means to refer to a specific mark of geographic location. Or let's look at it like this, territory. A province, a region, a zone, or a geographical position. So every, basically, it's like this. It can be any region or area or your health or your marriage or relationship or employment or business. He's after your territory. Now we're going to go to Mark. I want to look at Mark for a moment. Mark chapter 5. We're going to see how the disciples looked at this story. In Mark chapter 5, many of you probably read this. I've read this over and over and preached it several different ways. But I want to preach it this way today. And it goes like this. First of all, in verse 1, it says, they came to the other side. If we go a little up further, a little beginning of that, let me just paraphrase this. Jesus is on the boat. Say boat. He's on the boat with a bunch of disciples, and he's trying to teach them something. And he's asleep in the boat. Many times do you ever say, Jesus, where are you? He's asleep. Are you asleep, you know, when things are happening? Well, a storm arose. Anytime you're about to move, go over to the other side or do something, a storm comes first. One is a tip off that you're on the right track. So many of you don't think that God is just getting ready to slap you upside the head. What it is that the storm is arising because it wants to stop you. I'll go more into that a little bit later, but a storm arose. Once Jesus said, I'm going to move from this geographical place to the other geographical place. Now, what I was saying earlier, sometimes we live through some things. And as I was coming to San Antonio, Texas, from Houston, Texas, God began to show me this scripture. And he began to tell me, he says, I want you to look at the man that was with the legion of demons. And I want to tell you something, that the very immediately when you take those steps to do something for God, you're moving from one area of your life. And I packed up and moved over to another region. And the first thing I met with is the storm. And then all of a sudden, I get over to the other side after I packed all my stuff and moved on over. And from that side, come on, somebody, all of a sudden, I met with the legion. Let me read this story here. They came to the other side of the sea, of the region the Gerasenes, amen. And soon as they got out of the boat, there met him out of the tombs a man under the power of an unclean spirit. The man continually lived among the tombs, and no one could subdue him anymore, even with the chains. For he had been bound often and shackled for the feet and handcuffed. But the handcuffs of light chains he wrenched apart and shackles. He rubbed and ground together and broke in pieces. No one had the strength enough to restrain or tame him. I'm going to take a little veer off just for a second. Have you noticed that no one, they would handcuff him. They would lock him down. But no one would free him. They were too busy, scared of him because of his situation, because he was demonized. He had a legion of demons. They were so busy, worried about his condition and the fear of that condition, but nobody was strong enough to free him. Just a little veer off. So now let's go back. Night and day among the tombs on the mountainside, he was always shrieking and screaming and beating and bruising and cutting himself with stones. And when from a distance he saw Jesus, he ran and fell on his knees before him in homage. Get back to that in a minute. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? What is there in common between us? I solemnly implore you by God, do not begin to torment me." For Jesus was commanding, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is your name? And he replied, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he kept begging him urgently not to send them, himself and the other demons, away out of, watch this, the region. Now a great herd of hogs was gazing there on the hillside, was grazing. And the demons begged him, saying, send us to the hogs that we may go into them. So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out of the man and entered into the hogs. And the herd, numbering 2,000, rushed headlong down into a steep slope, into the sea, and where they drowned in the sea. The hog feeders ran away and told it in the town and in the country, and the people came to see what it was that had taken place. And they came to Jesus and looked intently and searchingly at the man who had been a demoniac, sitting their clothed and in his right mind. The same man who had a legion of demons, and they were seized with alarm and struck with fear. And those who had seen it related the in full and what had happened to the man possessed by the demons and to the hogs. And they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. And when he had stepped into the boat, the man had been controlled by the unclean spirit, came begging him that he might be with him. But Jesus refused to permit him. But he said, go home to your family and your relatives and friends and bring back the word to them on how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had sympathy for you and mercy on you. And he departed and began to publicly proclaim and to the region in 10 cities how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were astonished and marveled. And when Jesus recrossed the boat to the other side, a great throng gathered about him, and he was on the lake shore. Now, I want to thank God for the word of God. Now watch. He was met with the man that was in the tombs. And the first thing he did was he came up and he worshiped him. The disciples, what did he say? What do you have to do with us, with me, Son of God? You understand something? The disciples, most of them didn't even know him as Son of God. So to see this, and to see this man full of demons worshiping God, falling at the feet of Jesus and worshiping. See, sometimes if you're spiritually inclined and you're really in tune with God, some people look like they're worshiping. But yes. And you say, ooh, that's some weird worship right there. There's something ain't right about that. You ever seen that? Someone worshiping, you're like, something ain't right about that worship. But Jesus comes to the man. I want you to understand something. He comes and the man begins to worship. The demons inside begin to worship. But what they're asking, what they're telling Jesus is this. They're saying, don't send us out of the region. So can I tell you what Satan's after? He's after your territory. See, he's not, it's not so much about you personally. See, because the more Satan has territory over, and when you decide to give your life over to Jesus, and you decide to do something for God, and you begin to take territory, he begins to send a storm. And then he doesn't want to let go of his territory. So you wonder why you're going through so many things. Or you wonder why you're the person that is serving God with all their heart and doing something that impresses God is going through what they're going through. Because he's after your territory. That's why you wonder why your kids are acting crazy. Because he's after your territory. See, because if he could get to you, he can't get to you. He's not after you. He's after your territory. He wants your health. He wants your business. He wants your ministry. Because if he can get your territory, then he's got the region. So we think that it's all about us. And we think that, the devil's attacking me. He's after your territory. See, that's why they didn't want to come out. He said, don't cast us into the swine. Don't cast us out of the region. You know how many demons live in this region? So when you're a church full of God and full of power, and you said, we're going to go win this city for Jesus, you're met with the demon, the legion of demons. Now, let me tell you about legions. Legions are more, they tend to be more unified than us Christians. They're marching. They're all in order. They take orders better than us. See, they'll even come to church and hang out. That's right. You're like, they don't come to church. I've cast out more demons in church than I've ever cast out on the street. But they're more unified. Because, see, the demons that are coming against you, they got a whole slew of them coming against you. That's why sometimes you buckle. That's why you buckle under the pressure. That's why when someone looks at you, they say, why are they acting out of character? Why are they acting so crazy? Because, see, this man was cutting himself in the tomb. I'm going to help somebody today. He was cutting himself. He couldn't stand it. He was cutting. He was telling himself, I'm never going to be anything. I'm going to be a loser. Everybody tells me I'm a loser. I'm going to be a loser. I ain't going to finish school. I ain't even going to have a business. I ain't going to have no money. And see, he was mutilating himself when he get back home. How many times do we end up? See, the devil can do something to you. You know, it's the devil. But then he uses your own self to mutilate yourself. See, we get home and we start feeling sorry for ourselves. Oh, that person left me. Oh, that person wants to leave me. Oh, and my husband acts like a devil because he's under pressure. And he can't handle it. I'm going to help somebody. See, sometimes we wonder why they're Christians, but they're acting out of the character of God. They're acting not as the character of God. They're acting out otherwise, because when you have a legion of demons attacking you, there are some things that you wouldn't do in public that you would do in private, because you can't handle the pressure. See, this, I came with a powerful word because I want you to understand there's a lot of times we see people in church under so much demonic attack. And you go, I wonder why they're acting like a fool. Why'd they go out drinking again? Because they can't handle the pressure. Because when you're up under attack, you just go to church and say, we're up under attack. When you're up under an attack so strong, you will do things that you wouldn't normally do. I've seen people, good people, steal because they were under financial pressure. So what did they do? Nobody knows that money's there. But they wouldn't normally do that. But when you're up under demonic attack. See, because they're hitting you with every single thing they could possibly hit you with. And so, I don't blame you for acting a little crazy. Because when you're up under that many, a legion of demons, you go home and you cut yourself. You go home and mutilate yourself by telling yourself you can't make it. You're stupid. You start remembering the words that were spoken to you over and over. And you begin to replay them in your mind of what a loser you once were. And you begin to fall into the trap that the enemy set for you. See, because he's after your territory. Your territory might be your health. Listen. That I don't care what people say to you, like things just happen. No, that thing was sent against you. Cancer was sent against you. That was a demon sent against you to stop you. When the storm hit you, when you were three, some people, look, I can almost bet there have been some people in here when they were two, when they were three, that something, a storm was sent against you to keep you from knowing the word of God, from keep you from going to church, to keep you from being the man or the woman of God that you are maybe today. I always say if I would have known then what I know now, I'd be a lot different, right? And obviously that's the devil knows that too. So when he sent the storm, he sent it when you were three. Somebody might have got molested. Somebody might have got raped. Somebody might have got hurt. Somebody physically, a divorce. Something might have happened physically to your life. A storm. Because, listen, the devil has more faith than you do. Because he knows exactly, I'm freeing somebody up in here right now. See, he knows exactly what you were going to become. Because he knew way ahead of time. Sister Susie's going to be something great for God. And if I don't stop her at the age of one or the age of two, if I don't stop her in school, if I don't stop her with a divorce, if I don't stop him with a divorce, if I just hurt him a little bit where his soul is so messed up, I've sent something against you. So you see people every day walking the street with a legion of demons and walk in the church with a legion of demons attacking them, and all we do is we don't free them. Wow. Because it's none of my business. But when we go home, we make it our business. I'm gonna help somebody. Did you see so-and-so? They were acting crazy. They think they're all that. I seen them at the club. But they're under pressure. See, they'll do things that they wouldn't normally do. And they get under such demonic oppression. You can't handle. See, this guy, look at what happened to the pigs. They went into the pigs. 2,000 of them jumped and committed suicide. They jumped in the water and killed themselves. They commit murder on their own selves. They committed suicide. And why? Because they couldn't handle the pressure that was sent to that man. See, we don't know what you can handle until you get hit with it. You don't know. Because sister or brother's going through something, you don't know if you could handle that pressure they're going through. But you say, well, if I was them, I would do this. You don't know what would happen if that happened to you. This man was in there in that tomb. He would go so crazy, he would end up going out into the wilderness. Anybody ever been in the wilderness? And you and people go, why'd they quit God? Because they couldn't handle the assignment from Satan sent against them. Because he's after your territory. He wants your family. That's why you got family members who don't serve God. Because he's got the territory. And then we wonder, why aren't they serving God? Because he's got their territory. And they've relinquished their territory over to him. Because listen, the more Christians or people we have serving God, the more territory we have. But the more Satan infiltrates. And see, as soon as he attacks, we back up. See, you got to be careful. Because see, demons are so, they're so organized, even though they'll hit you and you'll feel disorganized. But they're so organized that they'll jump from place to place. They'll jump from one house to the next. They'll jump from one generation to the next. They love to go from father to the son. They love to go from the mother to the daughter. They love to skip generations. Sometimes they'll leap over. That's why you can't be in a funeral and have your spirit open, because they'll just sit in the house. Because they leap in demons. They like to leap inside. They like to get up in you when you least expect it. That's why you got to guard your heart with all diligence. Because out of it flows the issues of life. And when you don't, those demons love to come in and take the region. What got me in this story was that I realized something. If you look where it says, don't take us out of the region. They don't mind going into people. They don't mind going into dogs or cats or animals or if you got dogs, I'm sorry about that. That kind of stuff. They don't mind. Demons can get into animals. All of a sudden, your animal just got a strange illness. You didn't even know where it came from. I bet it was a demon. All of a sudden, your nice little cat just you're like. Excuse me, kitty. Miss Pris, I didn't think you were that mean. See what I'm saying? Because he's after the region. He said, he's after the territory. That's why he says, don't let us out of the territory. That's why in San Antonio, there's a lot of territory the enemy's got. Because, see, we have to be a church full of power. The power of Jesus in us. And listen, have you ever noticed that the more of God you get, the more everybody else acts crazy? It's true. Look, I don't know why my husband's acting so crazy. I just came back from church. He should be nice. He's like, rawr, rawr. It's true. I was in a revival years ago, and all of a sudden, this went to the waiter. We were in the presence of God, really strong, and we go up just to get our food. We're sitting down at the table, Pastor, and we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, the guy goes, "What do you want?" "Well, we came to eat. Take our order. Can you take our order? Why do you want me to take your order?" I'm like, "You're the waiter. Can we get somebody else maybe?" Well, he was manifesting a demon. We were in his region. See, they don't want to leave the region. So what I noticed, because I had to live this thing. I didn't want to. But I knew it would free some people up, because you're going to understand why things are going the way they are. Because he's after your territory. He wants your kids. He wants your wife. He wants your husband. He wants your children. He wants your uncle and aunt and cousin. He wants your relatives, because he can go generational. He can go territory. He wants your job, because he can take your job. He's got your territory. He can take your ministry, because he's got your territory. He can take your health, because then he's got your territory. But if you ever have somebody, let me tell you the secret on how this demoniac got free. Anybody want to know? He opened his mouth and began to worship God. See, many times we don't do that in church. I think sometimes we ought to have popcorn in church. Because we just sit like that. And just have some popcorn. Watch the show. That's why nobody gets free. Is it true? See, because it's easier to just watch the show instead of doing something. Because soon as the man began to do something, he began to get free. See, the moment the church of God begins to get up and begin to worship and open their mouth, they begin to get free. They begin to worship the Lord and they begin to get free. The more people of San Antonio begin to worship God, San Antonio gets free. The more of your family begins to lift their mouth, open their mouth and worship God, they get free. But if you keep your mouth shut, and we become those ones that are hearers only, but not doers of the word, then what happens is he's got your region. He takes your territory in the church. He gets a hold of the territory. But the moment you feel a little bondage and you feel like the enemy is defeating you in your mind, you begin to open your mouth and you begin to give the Lord a praise and you give him some worship, then what happens is the enemy has to let you go. But the only way you keep him, you can ask Pastor Marty. We'll ask. You want to stay in there? And the demon will say, yes. I'm asking the girl or the boy. You want to be in there? You want him to stay? No. Open your mouth. As soon as they open their mouth, the thing leaves. Anybody been under some demonic attack lately? What did you do? You went home and said, I hate my job. I hate my boss. I'm a hater. I hate my kids. I hate my car. I hate the gas prices. I'm a hater. I hate my pastor. Open your mouth, say praise the Lord. You begin to say what the enemy wants you to say about your life. I hate the way I look. I hate my face. I hate my body. I'm too fat. I'm too. You know what? Let me tell you something. I said, I'm not going to let the devil beat me. I don't care how old you are. Listen. Let me tell you this so I can, because we're going to open our mouths here in a minute. But I want to show you. I want to tell you something. You know, I'm a nice guy. But the moment. See, I live in some apartments, but if you step over that little patio and you go to open that door and you don't belong there, I'm going to fight you. And I'm going to show you my fivefold ministry. I'm going to be very prophetic with it. I'll cast you out. But I will fight you. I don't care. I'll fight the devil. I'll fight anybody that tries to skip my stuff. And the problem is we haven't fought the devil hard enough because he come to steal your stuff. He's come to take your territory. I don't care. I'll scratch. I'll bite. I'll do whatever it takes to win the fight. And that's what's happened to the body of Christ. We stopped fighting. We sat back and watched him take your children, take your job, take your kids. One minute you're over here saying, oh, I love my kid. The next minute you're saying, I hate my kid. I won't kill him. One minute I love my job. Oh, I hate my job. You're so double-minded, you can't even stay straight. But if you're a little, I don't care how fat you are, how skinny you are, you can fight. I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight whatever. You come to get my stuff, devil, I'm going to fight you. I'm not going to lay there and let you take my stuff. I'm not going to lay there and let you take my children. I'm not going to lay there and take my job. I'm not going to lay there and let you take my ministry, because it's my region, my territory. And the moment you decide to open your mouth, freedom begins. Just like that baby crying. It's the truth. What does she want? I want to be free. I want food. It's the truth. Thank you for the illustration. That's what we have to do. Abba, Father. Abba, I want to be free. I worship you. When the demoniac began to worship, that's when he got free. I want us to lift your hands and open your mouth and begin to worship the Lord in your own way right now. Begin to worship him. Just pray in tongues. Give him thanks. Give him praise. Karabokora, I worship you, Lord. I praise. Come on, everybody. Just give him. Just tell him how much you love him. Tell him how much you need. Thank him. Just thank him. Don't tell him how much you need him. Just tell him you thank him for what he's done in your life. Thank him for what he's doing. Thank him for everything he's given you. Thank him and bless him. Bless him for being so good. Bless him for being the great God that he is. Give him thanks. Give him praise for being so awesome. You're an awesome God. You're a great God. Come on, worship him. Praise him. Oh, I love you, Father. I give you thanks. I give you praise. Now watch how it's going to lift off you. Come on, open your mouth. Open your mouth and love the Lord. Open your mouth and worship the Lord. Open your mouth and give him thanks and praise. Come on, open your mouth and give him grace. Praise and praise. We glorify you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you praise. Come on, tell him, talk to him, talk to him. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh, Rabba Kayanda Rabbo Korabasata. He Korababo Kored Kerabasa. Oh, Rabababa Sokorende. He Korababa. Watch how you get free. Watch how you start to begin to get free. Come on. Oh, you might be in bondage to something. You might be in bondage. Somebody in your family might be locked down in bondage. But your praise is going to free you. Come on, your praise is going to free them. Oh, Rebo Korabasa. If you want to keep that spirit of heaviness, you want to keep, I got to come to Jesus, whether I'm full of the devil, which I'm demonized. I got to come to Jesus, oppressed, depressed, anxiety, fear. I got to come to Jesus, whether I'm possessed by a devil. I got to get free. And the only way I'm going to get free is if I worship the Lord. Oh, I want to be free from drugs. I want to be free from alcohol. I want to be free from addictions. Oh, I love you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I give you thanks. I give you praise. Come on, praise him. Come on, give him some crazy praise. Give him some crazy praise. Come on, praise him like you, even though you feel sick in your body, you need a healing. Anybody say, I praise you, Lord, that you are a healer. I praise you, Lord, that you are a great healer. You are Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Makedesh. You're Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Elohim. Come on, you're Jehovah God. You're Jehovah Rapha. Come on, you're my healer. Come on, hallelujah. Rabo Korea Kakayanda. Oh, Rabbi, come on, praise him. Come on, lift up your voice and praise him. Come on, praise him, praise him. Come on, I'm going to do this with your own voice first, and then we're going to worship him. Come on, worship him with your voice. Come on, worship him. You're going to feel things lift off you. You're going to start feeling things lift off you. Come on, you're going to start feeling things lift off you in the name of Jesus. You're going to start feeling lighter. You're going to start feeling lighter. Come on. Oh, Rabbi, come on, you got to practice this now, because when you get home, come on, you got to take region. You got to take your territory back. He's after your territory. He's after your life. He's after your ministry. He's after your marriage. He's after your children. He's out. You can't let it go like that. You can't just say whatever's going to be, going to be. I got to get my stuff back. He's after your money. He's after your money. He's after your car. He's after your job. You can't just sit there and lay back and let him take Take what is yours. Take your territory. Take it back tonight. Take it back tonight. Oh, I praise you. I glorify you. I need a healing. I bless you for being my healer tonight. Hallelujah. Now, this is what I'm going to do. Come on, lift your voice. Play that song in the back. Play that song when you're holy in the back. Amen. That presence of angels. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Some of you are going to get free tonight. Somebody's going to get real free tonight. Somebody's going to get real free tonight. Come on. Come on. Somebody's going to get real free tonight. Woo! Somebody's going to get real free. I feel it. Somebody's going to get real free. Thank you. Somebody's going to get real free tonight. Somebody's going to get real free. Come on. Determined. Some of y'all lost some stuff. It's time to get it back. You're tired of the devil stealing your stuff. Worship him. You're tired of the